this morning. Open up to Haggai chapter 1, please. Haggai chapter 1. Verse 3. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for thank you for your mercy again today. I'm thankful for these that are here, and I pray that the sermon would address any need that is here today. I want to thank you for the special music and the memories, and Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and pleased and glorified with all that is said and done here today. The services and Sunday school classes that are going on right now. Lord, again, we love you today, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What was it, last Sunday night we talked about soul winning? Remember that? And we talked about the main point of the lesson was being prepared to go soul winning. You need to be prepared spiritually, mentally, and physically. Honestly, I just was not quite prepared for those songs in my head and in my mind, and just trying to keep everything sorted out. So, sorry for a few extra delayed quiet seconds. Just trying to ask the Lord and make sure that I'm doing here what He wants me to do. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Verse 6, he says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. And ye clothe you, but there is no warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Ever feel like that in life? Oh yeah, I make money. I have no idea where it goes. I keep it in a bag that has holes in it. Talking about a lot of people that are taking and not putting in. In verse 7, it says the same question. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And God says this, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. This year we've brought up multiple times the fact that we want or desire that God would be glorified with us. One of the ways that we can do that is by considering our ways. Consider our ways. There's been a great many thinkers throughout the centuries, philosophers, scientists, chemists, psychologists, who are given to intellect and to mind, engineers, math theory. And although they would consider many of things, I'm not sure they always came up with the truth. Just that we would consider our ways isn't necessarily a measure of righteousness, but by which filter do we pass it through? As I consider my ways and I consider what it is that I do in different areas of my life, before we even look at that, I feel like we need to go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. So keep... No, you can turn away from Haggai. We won't get to back there until a long time. I was teasing Grandpa Haight that I was going until 2 o'clock today. I say, why would that tease him? Because there's a soccer game on. In 10, it's already going. At 11. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. So we got a lot of time. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. So I need to consider my ways, and I also need to consider how great things God has done for me. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we take the wallet out and shake it and nothing comes out. And we go, God's not good. We get out of bed with a bend in our hip. I thought that was going to be gone by morning. And then we consider or question the goodness of God. But God says this in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider as a thought how great things He had done for you. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm so glad you have your Bibles here today. If you don't have your Bible, sit next to someone that does, and you can just follow along. You can share. We won't spend any too long a bit of time in any one passage, but we are going to look at a lot of scriptures today. And the scriptures really give us power in our words, and because it's really not what I think about it, but what does God have to say about things? So, as we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This is all about the mind. Personally, not accusing anybody else, but I'm saying, looking at yourself, have you ever misjudged something and got a little squirrely in your mind? Where maybe you had a friend or somebody that came and said, hey, you're not looking at that right. God in Haggai chapter 1, twice in that passage, tells the nation of Israel, consider your ways. It's one thing to think about what you're doing, but by what filter are we going to pass it through? Well, number one, we're going to consider all the great things that God has done for us, and we're going to take into consideration Jesus Christ. That is the measure by which we consider things. That's the filter by which we pass our thoughts through. So what do we need to consider this morning? Well, we have much to consider. We have much to think about. Say, I don't like thinking about things. It makes me tired. Well, sorry. You're going to have to think about some things. How have you in your life set aside some time to just stop and think? Anybody do that? Say, I wish I had that. Hey, it's important to do that. It's important. This is a side note from this. It's important that you get bored. Say, why? Because it'll give you some time to think. You got to slow down. You need to stop and consider your ways. You need to think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And there's different areas of your life that we need to consider. Proverbs chapter 14, look there. Proverbs chapter 14. There's some thoughts concerning the scriptures that are like, well, I can kind of see that, I can kind of see that. Doesn't, on the grand scheme of things, doesn't really make a difference, right? Is there a distance between when God created the universe to when he created the earth? Is there a gap in that? When we look at Genesis 1, 1, 1, 2, who knows? And you look at the scriptures and the Bible doesn't say enough about it. And just some thoughts. But know what I like? I like when the Lord gives us overwhelming information about a topic. It removes all doubt. It removes all gray area. It removes all what I think or what I feel like. Well, I don't like how that passage makes me feel. I'm sorry, that's what God says about it, though. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what we need to consider this morning? We need to consider, we're not going to like this, but this is our first point. We need to consider our wickedness. Because there's a way that looks good to me that does not end well. And I need to consider that and say, hey, which way am I going? Am I walking in sin? Contrary to the scriptures? What's it going to take for you to change? What would it take? Was it last week we heard Brother Ryan's testimony? He lost his career because of alcohol. He lost his marriage because of alcohol. It wasn't until almost he lost his life did they finally give up. What would it take for you to change your ways, your wickedness, your sin? Say, what's the big deal? Everybody sins. Oh, sin's a big deal. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. Let us consider our ways concerning wickedness. Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Hey, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved before, that's what you're carrying. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll read it quickly, in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished from everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Say, what's the big deal of sin? It separates you from God. And if you're lost here today, you've never had Jesus Christ forgive you of your sins, it will be for eternity. Say, I'm good in being lost. I'm good in my sin. Oh, you are not. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. In James chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. No one falls into sin. They willfully choose it. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What is the response to the results of sin? What is the considering my ways of wickedness? Say I continue in the path of wickedness. What will happen? You will be destroyed. You'll be divided. There'll be death. The wage of sin, it is never better than not. It separates you from God. It'll destroy your life. I was reading about this, sorry, Mrs. Buck, the snake. And the snake, I think it was called a whip snake. They call it that because it's so ridiculously fast that usually you just see it as a blur. But if you are able to grab hold of it, somehow it just keeps going crazy biting you. It's incredibly aggressive. No thanks. Hey, that's what sin is. It just keeps biting. Until finally, you're in big trouble. Sin is big trouble. It's a destroyer. Psalm 38. Hey, if you're walking in sin today, if you've never been saved before, say, what does it mean to be saved? You keep saying that word. What does that mean? I don't feel like I'm drowning. I don't feel like I'm... I know where I'm at. Hey, there's a consequence to your sin. And if you never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, well, there's still that separation between you and God. Psalm 38 and verse 4. It says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my what? Sin. In Psalm 38 and verse 3, it says, there is no rest in my bones because of my sin. Hey, if you're lost here, you got big problems. You have the biggest problem you could ever imagine. But if you're saved and still dabbling in sin and still messing with that and still, you know what you don't have? You don't have rest in your soul. Because God says, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Hey, consider your ways today. There's a consequence to sin. There's a consequence. Yesterday we were at a baseball game, and we're at a small park in Batavia at Dwyer Stadium. And it's like $5 to go to the game. Great. So there's an area where a lot of foul balls go. And then there were two kids on the other side of the fence. They don't even go to watch the game. They're sitting on the outside of the fence. And they're just waiting for a foul ball to go into the parking lot. And they're just sitting there. And I kept looking at them, and they're bored because foul balls don't happen all the time. So the one kid's holding the fence, and he's got his mouth, and he's just running it up and down on the fence. And I looked at that, and I thought, eventually that's going to be a problem. There's going to come a moment when you're going to cut your mouth, or you're going to get tetanus, or whatever else is on that fence. I mean, he wasn't my kid, so I wasn't like, hey, stop eating the fence. But I felt like someone should have said something to this young man, because eventually his actions were going to catch up with him. Sin is a burden, a heavy burden, too heavy for any person to carry. So, no, I'm doing all right. Oh, it'll catch up. And it's heavy, and it's ugly, and it destroys, and it divides, and it kills. Consider your ways and your wickedness today. So what's my solution? Well, Proverbs chapter 28. The solution is Christ. Jesus Christ is the only answer to sin. You know, man, this world tries every single way to pay for sin outside of Christ. They spend millions of dollars trying to appease their sinful conscience. They give to charitable organizations, which are good. But what are they doing? They're trying to make the guilt of sin to go away. They're trying to get that heavy burden off. Well, if I do enough good, it'll outweigh my bad. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. They go to these places, or they make these trips, or they do these things, thinking that somehow they will relieve the burden of sin. But that's not how it is. Honestly, it just gets heavier and heavier. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Everyone do this. My watch tells me to do that sometimes. I don't know why it tells me. All of a sudden my watch will beep and it'll say, breathe. I'm like, wasn't I? Like, I felt like I was. Felt like I was doing that. But it says, take a minute and breathe. I almost pass out because it's like that deep breathing. So it's like, say, why are you doing that? Is this yoga class? No. I'm just saying, if you could just do that, then you have an opportunity to confess and forsake your sin. If you can't do that, your opportunity has passed. Say, no, here's what I'm going to do. When I get to heaven, if I see it's for real, because I still have some doubts, if I see that it's for real, I'll negotiate with the Lord. You don't understand. I am the best negotiator. You don't understand. It's over. It's done. Consider your ways today concerning your wickedness. Say, I feel like that's a little caustic, and that's mean. Sin is wicked. And there's nothing good that has ever come from sin. Nothing. It has taken every possible good scenario and made it worse. So consider your ways concerning wickedness. Let's consider our ways in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 12. The Bible says all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what that means? I can do whatever I want. All things are lawful unto me, but what does it say? All things are not what? Expedient. What does that mean? Beneficial. Yes, I can go play in the road, but that's not a good idea. We don't have dodgeball class over on Ridge Road. Why? We could, but it's not expedient. I could go to Walmart and go to the poison aisle and buy rat poison and eat it. No one would stop me. Well, maybe they would. Go to my car. The guy's not asking me when you cash out. He's not, hey, are you going to be eating this? No, he doesn't think that. I could, though. I could go take it, and I could take it and put it on my plate and eat it. Say, why would you do that? Exactly. There's a lot of things we can do that we shouldn't. Because we have a testimony to maintain. We have a walk with the Lord to maintain. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I could do that, but that wouldn't help this young man. That might hurt him. It certainly won't encourage him. To edify is to build up. We were reading Nehemiah today in our Sunday school class. Arise and build, Nehemiah said. Arise and build. And then Sanballat and Tobiah show up and did nothing but try to discourage him. But not until Nehemiah said, I will arise and build. You know what? Know what we need to do for our young people? We need to edify them. How can I edify them? By walking right. Consider your ways today. Consider how you walk with the Lord. Say, I can go anywhere. I can watch anything. I can listen to anything I want. I can eat anything I want. I can wear anything I want. Yes, but is it expedient? And is it edifying? 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We've asked this last week. We'll ask it again. Do others know that you're saved? Are you ashamed of the testimony of the Lord? A lot of you have outside influence. Steve, you work at the fire department. Garrett works with machines. It used to be Johnson & Johnson. Is it still Johnson & Johnson? What is it? That one. He works there with machines. Do they know he's saved? Brother Schultz, do they know you're saved? What the people that you walk around. Well, I think I'm moral, but I never really had a chance. It says this, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. How's your walk? Consider your ways with your walk with the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 39. Luke 8, 39. It says, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. When was the last time you kicked open the door and said, you would not believe what God is doing in my life? Would your kids be like, you're crazy. What are you doing? What's wrong with Dad? Shouldn't that be a regular thing that they hear? Shouldn't that be a regular thing that we return back to our home to testify of the great things that God has done in our life? Shouldn't we speak of those things? Shouldn't we have those conversations around our dinner table, around our couches, whatever it is, at bedtime? Hey, I want to tell you something. You know what? I was praying for this, and God did this. Let me tell you, I want to return and tell in my house the great things God has done in my life. But that's never going to happen if I walk a compromised testimony. That if my walk looks just like the world. Because the power of God will be nowhere near my life. God won't be doing any things in my life. So I need to consider my ways. Not just in my wickedness, but in my walk. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, in verse 15. Well, that is not what I wanted. Go to Matthew chapter 5. I hate when I write down the wrong verse. And I usually check them all over real well. Ah, can we go to Psalm 71? I just couldn't read my handwriting. Sorry. Do apologize. Psalm 71. In verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all this day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Say, here's what I'm going to do. When I get on in my life, and all this is past, and I get older, then I will testify. No, he says, do it right now, because you don't know how many days you have. Talk about it. Talk about your salvation. When's the last time you shared your salvation with someone? Told someone about it. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Verse 18. Now also am I old and gray-headed. You know what? Sometimes we think, well, I'm old. There's nothing for me to do. No. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Tell me about your walk. Consider it. Consider what you say. Consider those things. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Thank you for your patience while I found that verse. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you consider your walk with the Lord today? Say, I can do whatever. Yes, you can do whatever. But is it going to bring glory to God? Is God glorified? Say, that would mean I couldn't do everything I want. Exactly. Correct. Consider your wickedness. Consider your walk. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's consider our ways. Not just in our wickedness, not just in our walk, but also in our worship. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. What is it that you worship? It says, let us bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. There was a time when my boys were a little bit smaller that I would wrestle with them, and I would start on my knees. Say, why? Well, to give them an advantage. Because if I started standing, they had no chance. Now here, I can move a lot less. I'm in a vulnerable position. It is a lot more difficult to turn around. It is a lot more difficult to protect myself behind, move, any of those things. And I would start here. Yes? Yes. So it is with the Lord. says, let us kneel before him and bow. Say, that's a vulnerable and humbling position exactly. What is it that we worship? How do we worship? When was the last time in your heart that you just put yourself way low and exalted God way high? I want to ask that you consider your worship today. Consider your ways with your worship. Psalm 95 and verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills are in his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the land thereof. O come, again that verse we just read, O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you got low? Psalm 29. Look at Psalm 29. What is it that you worship? Does God get all the worship that he should? Psalm 29 in verse 1 it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Holiness. I know the exterior really doesn't mean much. But if we were to go to a wedding, where's Nathan? Is Nathan in here? Oh, there he is. Nathan, you're getting married soon. 47, 48 days, you explained to us. You're all going to get dressed up, and we're all going to get dressed up, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to wear nice stuff. Why? Because it's a big event. Get dressed up to go to those things. The Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I wonder if we came to the Lord purposeful because we considered our ways in worship. That we didn't use the song service to get things right. We didn't need the preaching to fix things and weed things out. But we came into the house to worship God in holiness. I wonder what would be different. Might change what you did Saturday. May change how your morning started today. Worship service starts at... Sunday school started at 10 o'clock. How many of you start work before 10 o'clock? Normal work hours. Good. Worship service starts at 11. How many of you start normal work hours before 11? Whew. Mr. Knob's at lunch by the 11. And yet we have such a difficult time. Oh, I'm running late to church. I'm running. I'm behind... I'm just saying, if we considered our ways with the intention of worship this morning, if I wanted to worship God in holiness today, what time would I have to have set the alarm? What would the morning routine been? Well, I got to be there at 10 o'clock. Okay, that means I have to leave the house at 9:45. That means... have to get up at 9:15 for a shower. Okay, 9:15, setting the alarm. Snooze. Okay, shorter shower today. And that's what we do. Where is the holiness preparation? Where is the... Because God wants us to worship in holiness. That doesn't happen by accident. So I need to consider my ways. I need to consider my ways in worship. It's not just turning to a number. It's not just, oh, I know this one. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything. I can sing it. Well, kind of. You can sing it. Put someone on the piano, we can make the words sound nice. But did worship happen? Did I kneel before? Did I bow down humbly before the Maker? Did I present myself in holiness? Or did I just sing a note? Turn to a page? Real worship takes consideration. Consider your ways in your worship. Lastly, Matthew chapter 12. This past week, my uncle passed away. Was it this week, Rhonda? Yes. We had a funeral service Tuesday. And went there. We were in Buffalo. They asked me to say something. And they said, my aunt said, I know you're a Baptist pastor, so can you just say like one thing? Just like make it short. I said, okay. All right, I'll do my best. That's about it. I understand the time, but lunch is here, so you got really nowhere to go. We're almost done. I'm skipping an entire point. How's that? Does that make you feel better? All right, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Whoops. That's not good. Because sometimes I don't consider my words. Consider your wickedness. Consider your worship. Consider your walk. We need to consider our words. Words mean something. Now we try and teach our children, hey, listen, people say mean things to you all the time. Don't be such a sap and get over it. He didn't mean that you were dumb as a box of rocks. You know? Sorry. And people do say mean things. Anybody ever had anything mean said to them? Yes, right. Anybody ever say anything mean to somebody else? Yes. Do you wish you could take those back? Yes. Sure. Do you consider the words that you say? Do you really think about what you're about to say? Say, there's no time for that. Oh, there is time for that because we'll give an account of those things. We'll have to answer for those things. Ephesians chapter 4. Go there. We're almost done. Just a few more verses. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. If what you're about to say can't really be heard in any other circles, Now, I understand there's personal things between maybe you and your spouse and, hey, no one ought to hear these things or whatever. I understand that. But if you're talking to a buddy and another buddy walks up and you have to stop because you're talking about that buddy, number one, I would question if that is a buddy. Number two, is that really something that you should have been saying? Oh, man, I'm glad Pastor didn't hear that joke. Glad my wife didn't hear me say that. Glad my husband didn't hear me say that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Stop. Think about that. Consider that. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I was talking to my little sister this past week, and we were talking about church a little bit, and she's like, I really like it when you preach. She lives in Lake Placid. She's like, I really like when you talk. It feels like you're talking to me, and I feel like I can relate. Now, she grew up in a Greek church where all she would hear is Greek words, and she doesn't know Greek. So going to church, she didn't understand any of it. I said, well, that's great, Al. I said, we were taught in preaching that it benefits the hearer. If I use words that no one knows, what good is that? Number one, I don't know them. Number two, that you would need a dictionary. And now I'm... How about our words? Is it ministering grace unto the hearer? Is it beneficial? Proverbs chapter 25. We have two more verses and then we are done. Proverbs chapter 25. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. That's pretty. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? I'm glad you were honest. That means that I can say a word that would really help you and it would be really beneficial to you. A word fitly spoken. It fits right in. It's an encouragement. Hey, it's really good to see you today. I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for the thumbs up on the bus. That was an encouragement. Word fitly spoken. Consider your words. So I'm just not going to say anything. I'm tired of getting in trouble. I'm tired of having sending sorry notes and apologizing and all of that kind of stuff. I'm no good with my words, so I'm just not going to say anything. That's not what it says. It says that we ought to say words, good words, kind words, words fitly spoken, words that edify. You ought to speak words. They ought to be good words. You ought to consider what it is that you say. Last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You need to consider your ways. Haggai said, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Think about your sin. Think about your walk or your testimony. Think about your worship. Think about your words. Let's all stand. We all took a deep breath in. Say, that was nice. It was very relaxing. I like doing that. It was to show you that you have time yet, if things are not right with you and the Lord, to fix them. Consider your ways. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, in a moment the music's going to play, I invite you to come forward. Say, come forward to where? There's nothing down here. Just come stand here, and if you're a lady, I'll put you with a lady. Have a lady show you how to be saved. If you're a gentleman, I'll have a man. If you're a kid, we'll pair you up. Say, that's embarrassing. No, it'll be a lot worse. Going to hell. That'd be worse. The consequences of sin are not to be trifled with, not to be taken lightly. Now let's talk to the church. Hey, if you got sin in your life and you're dabbling in sin, and well, it just hasn't come down yet, it will. The consequence of sin is destruction. God promised. It's not if, but when. Confess and forsake. Get it right. Clean it up. How about your walk? Yes, you can, but should you? Your worship? Do you present yourself in holiness? And how about your words? Are they good to the use of edifying? Surely a point this morning the Lord has touched your heart in some way. Maybe you could come and talk to Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. I pray that this message was a help, that we would truly consider You in all of this, that we would do right by You. Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?